Peter Guns, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
What's up, brother? What's going on with you, man?
I was just playing your songs. I was just about to play Be My Lady.
Crazy. You know what's, I just remembered that, you know, I'm in Dallas, so I'm an hour behind.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I didn't call. I'm getting ready to, I was waiting until 8 o'clock to call you, then I just realized that it is 8 o'clock over there.
Yeah. So how you doing during quarantine?
Man, it wasn't that at first. Now it's starting to finally go stir crazy and starting to get worried. I wasn't worried at first. Now it's like, it's getting weird now. You know?
Yeah. I saw the picture you posted, the guy with the milk carton on his face.
People getting out of hand, man. But I'm quarantined. You know, it's torture for me because right in front of my crib is a swimming pool. And
oh, yeah?
This is my patio. And it's a pool right there, and I can't get in it because of quarantine. It's like torture, man.
Oh, man. It's a shame, though.
The pool is closed. Everything is closed. So.
Yeah, I'd be doing my show on the station, but instead of broadcasting live from my house now, but it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment.
I appreciate you for having me on and all that. That's dope.
Yeah, no problem. I respect hip-hop legends and 90s hip-hop artists. I don't like too many of the artists that are out today. I tell a lot of the old school hip-hop artists that now. There's just no message in today's hip-hop for me.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Yeah, I can't relate, but I don't like to sound like the old guy that had his time, so now he's hating on new guys. But yeah, I can't get with a lot of it. I'm not saying it's all trash, but definitely somewhere in the high 70s, early 80s. Trash.
Yeah.
The message is off. I mean, the pill popping, just the whole thing, you know. And people always say, well, you know, it's the same way your mother felt about it when you were doing it. Maybe. But I knew that we had some talent, and I knew that, you know, we had patterns, and I knew that even on some songs where I might have just been talking shit, I also had songs that we were giving a message, or we had skill. And this shit, like, it's almost like anybody can rap now, you know?
Yeah.
Just think of the dumbest shit and you win. And unfortunately, the people in power are allowing that. Like, that's why people with real talent can't even get in because, I give you an example. I hear all of these people talk shit about Eminem now, right?
Yeah.
On his worst day, he's better than most rappers, right?
Yeah.
So, the people that's talking about him are nowhere on his level. I'm talking about these new cats. And it's like, who are you to have an opinion about, like, somebody like, that's that caliber of a rapper? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who are you to have an opinion? Who are you to say Nas is not picking good beats or Jay-Z's for the old? You know, like, it's like the people that have these opinions, the nerve of them.
And I feel as though the production has decreased too. It's all trap beats now.
Well, I was talking to an artist recently, and I was telling them I was the type of artist that would take a chance and try and do some different shit. But if you don't want to take a chance, and most people don't, they want to feed their kids and they want to make money. You gotta make a record in the format of what's going on. I tell everybody, listen to the radio. Turn the radio off, put your song on, and see if you can hear your record in that format. Go to a club, see if the DJ is going to, because the DJ is not going to stop his fucking set to play your record if it don't fit the format or with the sound and what's going on. So that's the problem that we have. But it doesn't mean that you can't still have skill and rap some substance or trap beats, you know what I mean? Pill popping and lean and shooting and fucking everything, and that shit is, I don't know, I don't want to sound like an old angry guy, but
I want that though. That's what I usually do to have guests on my show, to go against this wave, because everyone nowadays, they just listen to what's on the radio, and it's like, you got to go back and do your research and listen to the artists that came before them.
Yeah, it's up to the people to change that, and you know, but they dumbing the crazy shit, they dumbing down people. Like, people are, you know, I got friends that pull up in the car, you know, my age with that shit playing, and I'm like, what are you doing? But see, my playlist is totally different. You know, I'm still listening to a lot of old stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, with that being said, I do like Drake and Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole, some of those cats. There's a few new cats I like. But for the most part, can't give them a man.
Yeah. How about Dave East?
Who's that?
Dave East.
Say it again. I can't broke up.
Dave East.
I like Davis. I do. But see, the rappers, I'm talking about rap like old school rappers.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot to do with it, you know. But, you know, I'm still popping Jada Kiss and shit like that in my car. You know, you would never hear me riding around playing on that.
Good.
And if I got a co-pilot that's trying to hear that, female or not. That shit gets no play in my crib or my car. I can't do it.
No, only the classics.
I don't even listen to the radio.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
That's old school stuff, you know. Like and if it's new school, it gotta be the stuff I like. Like, I'm not saying it's all trash. I'm just saying that most of it, they lose me all the time, you know.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, actually. Like, some of the shit that I hear, and they be like, yo, that's hot in the club. I can't believe it. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So, nah, yeah. I'm talking a different ballpark.
Yeah, I get upset when I listen to the radio too. You hear the drill tracks too. I know that's a big thing in New York now, and it's just, they don't even enunciate.
Terrible. I listen to, believe it or not, Afrobeats, some alternative music, like any genre of music that's going in a different direction, that's trying some new shit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm at. I'm a musician first anyway. You know, I listen to jazz, I listen to a lot of jazz music, I listen to a lot of different music. I'm a musician first. I started out as a drummer, play a little guitar, a little bass. So what I'm trying to do now is what the Roots have been doing for 100 years. I'm trying to put a band together and do something like that.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So I got, you know, we've been working a little bit, and then the fucking pandemic hits, but we had just started jamming and getting ready to go in the studio and put down some ideas, and then we got in the situation. But yeah, I'm all the way with trying some new stuff. And even now at my age, I'm about to jump in and try some new stuff.
Yeah.
And my son is still working, Corey, and he's in that world, so that's the difficulty Corey has. Corey's cut from a different call, old school, so he don't really fit in with the weirdos.
It's hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be. It should be based on your artistry first. And the fact that you have lyrics, you should be number one.
Yeah, I agree. So how long have you been on the radio, man?
I've been on the radio for 3 years. And I remember I played Uptown Baby as one of my first songs on the radio. I played that, and I think I played Nas, I Gave You Power. I think those were some of my first tracks I played.
Nice. I appreciate the support, man. That's dope. keep us alive, man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell people, like, it's a shame that we go overseas and get more love than we do here.
Yeah.
They go over Switzerland, Germany, all these different places, Australia. They still love us, you know what I mean? We can barely, we don't get the same love here. You know, it's a shame.
Yeah.
And they don't give the artists a chance to listen to new shit. They always want you to come up there and do the records they know. It won't be a new shit change. So that's why you just gotta, it's gotta be a way to get the audience that used to like us to tap into our new shit.
Yeah. It's gotta be. Have you ever tried rapping on a trap beat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah.
I'm cut from that cloth. We can adapt to anything. It's just that you look silly at 50 years old, bouncing around on that kind of beat, talking dumb shit. So I would do it with my kids just to show them, you know, I can get down with that shit too, but nothing I would ever put out there that I would feel comfortable putting out. No.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I do all types of music, so yeah, I do it. Nothing that I would really, I feel like I would be taking a step back from where I am. That's not me. That's the new generation, that's for them, you know?
Exactly. It's not for you guys.
not for me. But I do it sometimes just to show. Oh, I can get with that. I can do it. You know what I mean? Now let's see if you can do what I do.
And they can't.
Not on the best thing.
Nope.
Who was the kid that tried to freestyle? Yachty or something?
Oh, Lil Yachty, yeah.
Trash.
Yeah, and he calls Nas whack. I remember he said that before, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Talk about Nas and people like Eminem and call him whack and washed up. And blasphemy. You should be shocked for that shit. but you meet these kids and they're cool, so you feel, you know, you kind of like them by default.
Yeah.
You know, Yachty's mom is hot, too.
There's too many yes men in the industry now, too.
Yeah.
Like, they'll ask you, do you like this track? And just to say yes, just for anything, even if they're your friend, they say, yeah, it's hot.
Well, yeah, so I'm trying to eliminate those type of people out the studio when I'm recording or my son is recording. Anybody that has a yes, you're deaf. Some shit is not hot. Yeah, everything is not hot. And most now, the record labels are streaming at streaming companies. They only care about how many followers you got and how many people are paying attention to you. They don't care if you got talent or not. You go into a record label now, they just want to see how many followers you got. You have a following and how many views you got and how many people are interacting on your Instagram.
Yeah.
That's all they care about, and then that's how you get it. And there's no more developing artists, or the artist, this guy got talent, I'm gonna get behind him. It's like, they don't want to do no legwork anymore. You gotta come to them already prepared and ready to go. And that's crazy.
Yeah. So how about you tell me, what was it like growing up in the South Bronx?
It's not till now that I realized how rough and bad it was. Because when you're in it, it's just dope, and it's like you don't really feel. Some days you feel like, damn, this is fucked up. Because, you know, I lost a lot of friends, shot, killed, jailed, but a lot of death around us. Poor, but you didn't feel it. You didn't know. It's not till now when I look back at pictures or think back on how bad things really were. But the good side of it was I was there when hip hop started. In terms of rap starting out, breakdancing, and graffiti, I was in the thick of it. I'm 50, so I was there, and I came up under a group called the Cold Crush Brothers. They were from my area, my block, and I idolized the main member of the group. His name was Grandmaster Caz.
Yeah.
So I was already a musician, a drummer, doing music like that, and trying to write songs as a very, very young, 8, 9 years old already. And Cold Crush started doing block parties on my block, and I was like, at the Boys Club, I was like, I want to do that. And that was it, so I was interested too. So that's the flip side. Growing up under that also gave me thick skin. You know what I mean? Like, even though the quarantine was fucked up, there was times in the summer we had to stay in. It was rough out there, you know what I mean? You know, I got sent to Boston or California, my mother, just for the summer. Because for some reason, when it got hot, it got hot.
Yeah.
So some years, maybe 3 or 4 summers, I remember spending elsewhere because of how crazy shit was in the front. But I wouldn't change it for nothing, man. I was like the school of the hard knocks, you know. Again, wasn't the best times as far as the best situation financially, but we had some fun, we learned a lot. And as tough as it was, I would never change my childhood for nothing. My dad was there. Like, you know, I can't relate to a lot of people not knowing their dad, or their dad wasn't in the picture. My dad was there. I had a big family, huge family, and made it out, man. You know what I mean? We made it through. You know, shit, a lot of my friends died in their teens and 20s. So.
Yeah. Now, when did rapping come into play?
For a solo career. I was rapping in 78 in the Bronx. You know, probably even earlier than that. But for me, around 1981. And the reason why I pinned 1981 as a year I started really writing rhymes in 81, because even though I was young. Because I remember a routine that Cocrest had. Yeah. The routine was this 1981. And before the year's done, everybody gonna know that we going to go like Crazy Joe on the 7-0. And that was a routine from the Cocrest brothers. And I said, shit, that's dope. And I just started pinning. So I always pinned 81. But yeah, since 79, 80, I was all the way in. Yeah. Rapid Delight came out, game over.
How do you feel about the different generations of hip-hop, the transition from the 80s to the 90s?
From the 80s to the 90s to the early 2000s, to me, it was getting better and better. I thought the 80s was dope, and then the 90s came. The 90s was incredible.
Yeah.
And then early 2000s, you started getting, what, 50 Cent and Eminem, and it was getting better. And then all of a sudden, shit just took a dip.
Yeah.
And people say you mean the South, nah, because you still have people like Lil Wayne, Mystical, Ludacris, of course Outkast. People in the South is dope. Jeezy, you know what I mean? T.I. is dope. So I don't ever want people to say, oh, he just hating on the South. Nah, that's some South artists, that's crazy. Just like it's some West Coast artists that I love. I love DJ Quick, I love Snoop, I love Dr. Dre, I love Ice Cube. You know, it's a lot of West Coast, Kendrick Lamar, Game's nice. So it's never a hate on the coast or hate or blaming it on the region. Because there's some New York rappers that's trash.
Yeah, I can name a lot.
But then let me tell you about New York rappers. This is the most disappointing thing in them. I see rappers walking around trying to sound like they're from the South.
Yeah.
And if they're blooding and cripping, they talking like they're from California. I was in Harlem and I heard these guys going, yo, get in the car, fool. I said, yo, are we in fucking New York or Compton?
Nah.
So they starting to rip dialogues. This is a true story. I saw Rest in Peace to Nipsey Hussle. I saw Nipsey Hussle do an interview where it was asking, do he respect New York Crips? And he was like, yeah, the ones that come up with their own thing. I don't like the ones that call themselves, you know, like Compton Crip or whatever, because then at the end of the day, you never even been here. Why you naming this something after California? Do your own thing. Create your own set. And that's what I was saying. I was like, why are we even... There was a time we used to laugh at that. Colors, fighting over colors, throwing signs, we used to laugh at that. And then all of a sudden, it became a thing, you know?
Yeah, now it's a main
thing. I'm not all the way against that, but I am against you when you're trying to be somebody. If you do your own thing, so be it. But if you out here trying to rap, let me sound like I'm from Atlanta so I can get some spins or being on the radio, I can't respect that.
Yeah. I want to know when rappers' mentality started to change that they had to copy other regions, especially from the South. That's what I want to know.
Listen, man, I'm not here to judge nobody, but I think that there comes a time in life where you go, well, if I don't do this, I ain't going to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got some people that's not going to bend or break or do that. And you got some people that do it. I'm guilty of, in the 90s, shit just got totally hard. Early 90s, you know, I was rhyming all type of styles. I could be pop, I could be rock, I could be rap, and then hardcore shit hit. So now I'm gonna do all hardcore shit. So sometimes the format is, this is what's up. And you gotta get in the program or you don't. Now, I'm not mad at you if you're a young rapper, say I'm gonna rhyme over a trap beat. But you can't go sounding like somebody else and trying to make yourself sound like you're from the South, like the down South dialect and all that. Rhyme like a New Yorker over a trap beat. I respect that all day.
Yeah. Especially if you're lyrical.
Yeah, I respect that all day. But if you're out here trying to talk like you're from the country, and you're from the Brooklyn, Bronx, the Queens and all that, I can't fuck with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm telling you, some of them got over on me a few times. Somebody was like, oh, you know he's from the Bronx. I'm like, the Bronx? Sound like from New Orleans. Yeah.
It's tricky. Now, when did you and Lord Tariq meet?
Tariq was dating my sister.
Okay.
And I was in this group called the Gunrunners. And my sister would come in the house and be like, it was like eight of us. We was Wu-Tang before Wu-Tang. Look it up, the Gunrunners. And then my sister said, my boyfriend wants to get down with you guys. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to be down with the Gunrunners at that time. It was hot in the hood. We was making little tapes and putting them out. And I said, you know, let me hand rap one day. We came through, play something for me. He was better than all of us. So we closed down. That's history. Now him and my sister are married. So people always say, what happened to you guys? Y'all broke up, y'all not friends, we family. Him and my sister are married. They have a 25-year-old son. He has a kid, they have a grandkid. They have a 16-year-old son, so now, 18-year-old son. And so now he's family. He's my brother. He still rapping, he still got some shit too.
Yeah, and I know you and him just worked with Diamond D for the Dime Piece 2 on it for Maintaining.
Yeah, I laid the verse. I was dragging my feet and laying the verse. I laid a verse for it, but I told Diamond D I gotta record it over because I was rusty and it wasn't Sean. And he ended up chopping my shit up and putting it on the hook.
Yeah.
And something did, I don't know. I wasn't fond of it in there, but whatever. But yeah, Diamond D is amazing. Diamond D is a spectacular producer.
Yeah, legend, D-I-T-C. Now, was that the first track that you and Tariq did in many years?
In years?
Yeah.
I didn't do that track, so I don't want to consider that a track we did together. But yeah, that's the first time we got together in a long time and did something. I was listening to a track Pharrell produced two tracks for me and Tariq. One we put out, one we kept. One was called Pop. It was a dance party joint. Mm-hmm. We wasn't really feeling that shit. And then it was Up on What's That Sound. I don't know if you ever heard that joint. Mm-hmm.
I'll have to check it out. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, it's produced. That was produced by Neptune. We put it out just to throw it out. It made a little noise, but not a lot.
How long did it take you guys to put Make It Rain together?
Make It Rain, we were second guessing ourselves so much on that album that we was just doing joints and just, all right, we keep this, we don't keep that. We spent a lot of time and money on that album, man. And we should have just put the album out right after we put the single out. And we was just second guessing ourselves. We had a hit record out, we was making a lot of money, we was touring, we wasn't focused at all. We was just like this, but we recorded 30-something songs, and then just picked whatever and put them out. And I was satisfied with a lot of joints from the album. Some joints I'd be like, I cringe when I hear it. But for the most part, I was satisfied with the album. I just think we put it out too late. Mm-hmm. It took too long to put it out.
Now, how did you come up with the hook, Uptown Baby? How did that just come into your head?
Brooklyn and Daddy's Club called The Tunnel in New York, and a spot called Skin Keep, a lot of people hung out at. And when we used to go to the spots, we used to hear, you know, all the boroughs represented, and the Bronx was like the little dirty borough on the map that nobody gave a fuck about. And they'd be in the club going, Brooklyn,
yeah.
And they'd be Harlem, Queensbridge, man. And the Bronx, they got shit. So I told my crew, when we go out this week, I'ma say if it wasn't from the Bronx, rap shit probably never would be going on. Tell me where you're from. And I want y'all to go uptown nigga, we get down nigga. So I started doing that chant, other chants, it would get ugly because we'd be so loud and rowdy. And then we end up like, step outside, pussy, step out, you know that. So then we in the studio recording. And when that beat came on, I immediately started humming. New York niggas got a crazy game, but out of town niggas losing all the same. Brooklyn niggas get crazy loot, and Tariq would. I got it, because when this beat, they ain't scared to shoot. So I go, Harlem niggas know how to play, and then Tariq would come up with the other half. So then we just stuck right there, and then Tariq was like, yo, won't you do that shit you used to do at the time? If it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap shit probably would have been. And then I said, instead of going uptown, I said, uptown, baby, uptown, baby. And the rest is history. Now I'm giving you a hit. The hook was 16 bars.
Yeah.
The verses was 20 something bars. And it was about the Bronx. So nobody thought the shit would do what it did. Grammy nominated. Tariq did. I didn't. As soon as we were done with that record, he was like, "We got one. We going to the Grammys. This is it."
Yeah.
I was like, it's about the Bronx and the New York, and the hook is 16 bars. The verse, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Turns out he was right.
He was. Now tell me, what was that video shoot like? That was in Yankee Stadium.
Shea Stadium.
Oh, it was in Shea Stadium?
Yankee Stadium was shooting a movie, and it was called For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner. And they was not going to let us shoot in Yankee Stadium while they had the stadium rigged up with lights, millions of dollars worth of fucking equipment and cameras. So we had to take it to Shea Stadium, and we faked it like it was Yankee Stadium, which I'm always be mad because I'm like, New York is New York.
Yeah.
We should have just made it Shea Stadium.
I never knew that, though. That's crazy. So you were wearing Yankee outfits and you were in Shea Stadium.
The crazy shit, the crazy train, it was like nobody would know the difference. And
I didn't.
Every New Yorker I met would say, "Yo, why the fuck? Because there aren't seats."
Yeah.
Why would I do that? And I was like, the fucking director, producer was like, "I'm going to make it look like Yankee Stadium." And when we saw the video and I saw the orange seats, I was like, "Yo, my man. What the fuck?" They didn't understand. They weren't from New York. Chris Robinson, shout out to Chris Robinson, doing a bunch of movies now. When I saw him, he's like, "Yo, you gave me my first shot." He made a lot of money on that video too. At that time, Jay-Z was telling me, because people used to complain about Jay-Z's videos, how they sucked in the early days. But Jay-Z used to get the label to put the money up for the video. So if they gave Jay-Z $500,000 for a video, he was only giving somebody $30,000, put the rest in his pocket.
Hmm.
And our dumbasses gave the whole $350,375.
Damn.
We should listen to Jay-Z.
Put
that in our pockets and let our men do it.
Oh, man. Where'd you get the Yankee suits from?
The leather suits?
Yeah, because you had the red one.
Damn, what was 5,000 flavors? 5,001 flavors? Whatever. We had them make it at the time. It was the hot to make the shit. So we had them. Yeah, we spent reckless amounts of money on shit. Those outfits, the fucking video itself, like in hindsight, I'm like, if I could just have it over again, that's a lot of money.
It's fire, though. What was your relationship with Big Pun and Fat Joe? Because they were also in the video.
Those are my guys.
And I know they were in Cross Bronx Expressway, too.
Pun and Tariq knew each other from Soundview for a long time. I knew Joe. Just family, man, you know? Family. We did a song with them on an album called Cross Bronx Expressway.
Yeah.
You know, we were supposed to really be on Cross Bronx. We was going to do that video like Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
But we never got a chance to do it.
Now, what's your favorite verse that you ever wrote?
Uptown Baby.
Uptown Baby?
Only because it was a verse that I felt soon. I did it in one take and I knew that was it. When I walked out the booth, I knew I was going to like that. I like the tone I rhymed in, I like the way I rhymed, I like everything about it. I gotta answer that another day, but it was the most important verse in my life, man. That's for sure. But it was one of my favorite verses, just in terms of, I like my tone on that, and I like the patterns that I rhymed in. I'm not proud of everything I said on that record, but
yeah. You also rapped with Shaq back in the day, too, and I know you guys are still great friends.
Yeah.
What was that like for Men of Steel? Because that was a big one.
That was Shaq was just funny. That's when reality was trying to pinch yourself. Because with Shaq, they'd be like, "Hey, Prince wants to talk to you. You want to come meet Prince?" Michael Jordan's right here. Denzel Washington is in the studio. Will Smith just stopped through. And you're talking about somebody from the South Bronx that never left New York like that, never been out, been anywhere. I meet Shaq, I'm in Japan, Jakarta, Indonesia, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Taipei, Australia, the Philippines, everywhere, you name it. I'm all over the world, and every place the Orlando Magic, when he was on Orlando Magic, or when he got on the Lakers, wherever they played the game, he had a party.
Yeah.
And I was at everything. So when I was, he started a label and signed me, he was working on an album, so we were working together, writing this shit, trying to get his album done. And then he signed me. So it was, again, it was nothing like it. Dude, you fucking, you talking about Michael Jackson showing up on the crib, talking about getting on a private jet at Trump. Donald Trump sent Shaq a jet one time.
Oh my God.
You, here's a true story, a Donald Trump story, right? We got on a plane at Trump.
Uh-huh.
Me, Shaq, and his family, his cousins, she got on a plane at Trump. Charlie won. Something happened with a flight to Shaq. Shaq was cool with Trump. I guess they did some, they may have done some business together with properties or whatever. Trump rented or let Shaq use one of his jets. His only thing was don't touch none of my paintings on that flight. Everything else is have fun. And come to find out, one of those paintings were worth more than jet. I was like, what type of fucking money is that? But those type of things that I would never forget. You know what I mean? I wasn't the type of dude that took pictures with everybody. I'm not a guy that asked people for pictures. But if I did, people would not believe the amount of people I did. There were certain people I had to have a picture with. Joe Montana and Mel Gibson and fucking Sugar Ray Leonard. There was a few people, Denzel Washington, there was a few people I cracked. I was like, yo, can I? Mine, I don't want to. But some people I wouldn't do it with. I just don't like asking people for pictures and shit.
Yeah.
But if I did, my wall would be decorated with a lot of superstars.
Just think about how times have changed. Everyone wants a picture today. It's crazy.
Yeah. People ask me for pictures all the time. It was crazy because I went to the supermarket. My little supermarket one run, the run out, grab some food and fucking paper towels and shit. And the girls at the register recognized me from Love and Hip Hop, and they wanted pictures. And I was very uncomfortable with that shit. So I had to come clean, like, ladies, normally I don't mind, I'll take pictures all day, but today is not the day.
Man.
Fucking, I don't want no parts of that fucking coronavirus. Two friends of mine, had it.
Oh, damn. And
it wasn't the habit like the celebrities you see. They had it and they was in the ICU on the fucking death door. So I don't know parts of that shit.
Yeah. It's dangerous out here. I know other rappers. Fred the Godson has it now.
I saw that. That's like my nephew, by the way.
Yeah.
Family, you know, him and Corey, real close. So, yeah. And listen, man, at the end of the day, he got to be careful because he overweight. He got to be careful. People that's like diabetes, overweight, any underlying health issues, high blood pressure, it could be a death sentence for you. So you got to be careful. I don't know what he was doing. You know what I mean? I don't know what he was doing or if he exposed himself to someone. Because you got to remember when it first came out, they were saying black people don't think they can get it. And motherfuckers believe that shit. I don't know why. And then, also, you didn't know nobody that had it. You didn't believe it. They just trying to scare us to stay in the house. Until you laying in the fucking hospital, begging for a ventilator, and begging to get some air, because you can't breathe and your chest hurts. So, but with that being said, that's my nephew. I hope he's good, man. Hopefully he'll be all right.
Yeah.
I always think the person that posts, hey, I'm in the hospital, pray for me, they'll be fine. if you could post that shit, you'd be all right.
Yeah. Because if you're really bad, you're not going to even get on the phone.
One thing I don't like to do is that shit. Like, if I'm sick or I went to the doctor, I don't like doing that. I did that one time, maybe, on Instagram. I had hernia surgery.
Oh.
My God, that shit was so fucked up.
But I was in the bed for a long time, and I would do this thing on my Instagram at 1 o'clock, and people kept asking, why are you not doing it? What's going on? And finally, I was like, look, I had hernia surgery.
Yeah.
Can't do it. I showed my bandages. I don't like that shit. I was like, damn, that was so corny of me, man. So, because I like people that do that shit.
Yeah. That comes with today's day and age. Everyone wants a like on Instagram.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, man.
I want to get into your publishing, too, because I heard about the story, and it's really heartbreaking, the fact that, you know, the issue that happened with the publishing. Why do you feel as though artists lost their publishing back in the day? I know TLC had issues, NWA had issues with publishing deals. Why do you think that was the case back then?
I mean, it's the same thing as today. You just figure into the business. You come from a, you broke before, you're young, you don't. And then all of a sudden, you're a superstar, and you're making money doing shows and shit. You're making money, so you're not paying attention to your other business. You don't understand publishing or nothing like that. Fortunately for me, that wasn't our issue. Our issue wasn't a publishing issue as far as somebody robbing us. In order for us to use that sample, we had to relinquish the publishing to still be getting.
Okay.
We didn't get sued. We didn't get robbed. It was like, hey, y'all want to use the song? We didn't want to publish it. So we had the option to go, no, we won't do it. But without that song, our deal was up for 10 years. So we said, fuck it, let's give them that publishing and we'll make money on the other stuff. It just didn't pan out that way. But most people think we got robbed or we got pursued. We didn't sue. That was the deal. Y'all can use the record, but we want 100% of the publishing. So the problem that I had with that is I wrote, Tariq and I wrote the song. So why would we have to give up 100% of the publishing?
Yeah.
Why not 50-50? Why not, you know, 60-40? They wanted it all. That was the only way they was gonna do it. And they made millions off that record, and we made shit. We told, no, let me not say that. It brought money revenue other places, but we didn't make what they made just from sitting home. We made that record bigger than their record. 10 times bigger than that. Nobody even heard that shit. That record was like a deep cut. B-side, not even a B-side, it was just on the album. We took that shit to another level, and then they came back after that.
Yeah.
From us trashing them all over fucking Billboard and talking shit about them in the magazines, they went to the studio and did another album and won a Grammy and shit. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But whatever, man. You know, look, at the end of the day, they got robbed back in the days too.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have to play devil's advocate and go, if I was in a position to do that, would I do it? Probably not. As a musician, I'll probably be like, they wrote it, let's be fair. But if I was on my fucking book, I'd be like, I can just... Here's one of the big problems that I still do when I say this. Because they sued De La Soul too. They're using the same sample. Or Peg, one of the same. They said that they don't like rappers using their songs because of the things we rap about. Shooting, killing, and all of that stuff. So, just for moral sake, we don't let them sample our music. I said, cool. If it's a moral issue, because Prince is like that. It's morally like that's not what they do, it's cool. But there is a dollar sign that will make you break your morals. And they got mad at me, because I said that in Billboard magazine. Let's not act like you got all the morals in the world, because when it came down to it, let us use the sample. We were able to buy you out your morals, you know what I mean? But either way, we didn't get sued. But yeah, most artists, like I said, you broke, you don't know the business, you come in the game, you making money other places, you tore them. I think that the worst thing I've ever seen, I mean, of course, there's 10 times worse stuff. There's shit like Elvis Presley and using fucking records. And Elvis owns publishing on record that he didn't even write or nothing. But if you go to a group like New Edition, that's terrible, man.
Yeah.
That shit is terrible. What I know about the New Edition situation is it couldn't have been me, because my family and the people that I grew up with in the Bronx would not have allowed that production company. The owner of that production company would have been, his life would have been in grave danger. There's no way that you want to just take all of my money. I got a hit record, I'm touring the world, I'm doing all of this stuff, and you got my money. And I can't even, my royalty checks say $5. After the tour, I'm back in the projects. My family, the people I grew up with now have allowed it. The reason why Steely Dan was, we was able to do that is because we still had $1 million deal, and that record is the reason that we got where we were, and we still were able to make a lot of money touring and doing that. But if I wasn't making no money, that's a whole different story, man. So you got other artists that really got fucked, man. But I just want to be honest with you, man. I don't feel sorry for no artist today that's getting robbed. There's too many of us that you could look at and learn your lesson.
Exactly.
Even when Steady Dan took my shit, I went in the studio with a band and tried to replay the sample so we wouldn't have to clear it.
Mm-hmm.
We did it over. We couldn't get the same authentic sound. And I didn't want to have to re-vocal it because I felt like that was it. So I just said, yo, we started. We did it, and the label wasn't going to accept the one we did over. It was like, it don't sound the same. So either y'all clear it, or the deal is off the table. So we had to give up the money. But if for a new artist to come into this game and still sign fucked up paperwork and not have it looked over, now if you come in and you sign and say, fuck it, I don't have nothing. This is better than where I'm at now. By all means, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
You know, something is better than nothing, I get that. But if you coming in and you not having your paperwork looked over properly, they even have free attorneys out here that for artists.
Yeah, and they'll look over the contracts.
So it's no excuse for you to sign the bumps and no dumb shit. And let me tell you this, any artist that signed with a production company is stupid to me. Production company is a middleman to the record label and to whatever. Sign directly to a label. Or do it yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I want to get into your son, Corey. When did you find out that he was a rapper?
Yo, Tariq kept coming to me, and my nephew Jim kept coming to me, telling me how nice he was. And I would hear him, and he'd be rhyming. But he was so little, and he was rhyming about adult stuff.
Oh.
I couldn't even listen to it. I was like, doesn't even sound right. You know, that's not even, you know what I mean? That you couldn't even do that. We grew up close, and I'm only 17 years older than him. I was 17. So he was more like a little brother to me than, you know, even though I raised him, me and my mother, because his mom's left. But they kept coming to me telling me how nice he was, how nice he was, how nice he was. And we had such a shitty time in the music business that I didn't want to bring him in the game. You know, this game is wicked. You take a kid, hype is on him, and then nothing happens. They fucked up mentally. If you look at all the kid stars and happens, so I didn't want him in the business, but he was so nice, and he was just getting better and better and better. So finally, I started setting up meetings with like Jay-Z, Puff, Tommy Mottola. Because of my hard work and my blood, sweat, and tears, I was able to get these people on the phone and get meetings with them, which is a phone call. And the bidding war began.
And I'm sure you told him some advice about, you know, signing contracts and making sure that he has help when he does that.
Yeah, I mean, automatically I had an attorney, and I had an attorney earlier. We had a couple of attorneys on Corey's situation because Corey had to go through the courts. He was too young, so we had to have tutors come to the house. Yeah, he was young when he signed the deal, so we had to go through tutors and all types of shit. There wasn't no regular contract, so they had to pay for tutoring and all that. But the lesson that Corey had to learn, that I had to teach him, is tutoring is not free. It comes out of your side. The label will be reimbursed for this. So anything that you, because he would fucking, the tutor would come, Corey would wake up. School was out the window once he started rapping.
Yeah. What was your reaction when you first saw him with Lil Wayne on that 6 foot, 7 foot record?
What did I do?
Yeah, what was your reaction to it?
I was super excited. I felt like Lil Wayne rolled the red carpet out for him into the world. Like, look, he's here. This is Corey. We got Nicki, we got Drake, and now, boom, Corey.
Man.
We just didn't take advantage of that like we should have. But I was excited. The thing that people didn't know is that Corey and Wayne rhymed back to back to back to back on that record. But when Corey left, Wayne chopped his verse up and put it at the end.
Uh-huh.
He pieced that verse together. But the original record was them going back and forth, and Corey was tearing that shit up, boy. The original was crazy. I wish there was a version to it.
Do you think he out-rapped Lil Wayne?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure that which ain't easy to do, because Lil Wayne is dead nice.
Yeah.
But Corey's just like he paints a, you know, he's just one of those patterns. But Lil Wayne didn't walk in the park. And I, you know what, I don't want to sound arrogant and be like, he out-rapped Lil Wayne, but it's not far-fetched to believe that, though, because Corey's
nice.
A machine. But I'm a Lil Wayne fan, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Lil Wayne, man. Because he's somebody that, he may say some, he know how to make records, he may say some crazy shit, but he got killed.
Yeah, I like Lil Wayne.
On some of those records, he spits some fire, so yeah.
What's your favorite Lil Wayne record?
What's that?
What's your favorite Lil Wayne record?
Ooh. That's a hard one, man. Let me think about that. I'm looking at the Carters. I'm looking at all the Carters in my head. Carter 1, Carter 2. Let me sit on that one for a minute. But he had some Carter, some joints on the Carter record that I just thought was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But he got, so listen, it's not just his verses, it's his songs, like Mrs. Walterson, Lollipop. It's just his song making. You know, make some hot songs, man.
Yeah.
And his guest appearances on Drake and I don't know if Drake brings it out of him, but when they rap together, man, he should be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Big Drake fan, by the way.
Big Drake fan? How about favorite Drake record?
Favorite Drake record. I was just listening to it. I don't know the name of it. That's another hard one.
Yeah.
There's so many records popping in my head right now, man. That's another hard one.
Take Care?
What's that?
Take Care? That was a big one.
Take Care?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Nothing Was the Same was a big one.
I got a great playlist in there that I was about to put on right before the call. I like this new record.
Oh, what's it? 2C Slide?
I like that shit. You know Michael Jack, son. With that being said, I like Push 2. I can't leave that out. I like Push 2.
Yeah. Daytona was a good EP.
Drake. Daytona was a good album. Classic.
Yeah.
I like Drake a lot.
What do you love most about your son's skills for hip hop? What do you feel like he does well?
Corey is a personally, pattern-wise and rapping-wise, probably the best rapper I've ever seen personally, like, pattern-wise. And that just happened for me. I'm not trying to say, you know, because people won't go in there to say, Peter said, your son is the best ever, he's better than this one.
Man.
What I'm saying is what I know, skillfully. For me, the fast rhyming and the different patterns like that, Eminem was there for me with that shit. Because Eminem and people like Busta Rhymes and Eminem had this Twista. Corey has come into himself with that shit, and I've never seen nothing like it. And Eminem is that. If you listen to some Eminem records, you be like, God, man. People are like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Go listen to it, dissect it, and you'll be surprised. He's saying some shit.
Yeah.
So, Corey is that, and that's what my biggest thing with him is his skill level is out of this world, man. Just being his father, it sounds like I'm just championing my son, but I'm speaking from the fan side of rap. he got some fucking, Corey got thousands of records.
Yeah.
Now, Corey, like Pac, you know, forbid something happened to Corey to put an album out on Corey from now to 3,000. Every year, you could probably put a 15-song album out on Corey from now to the year 3,000. Every year. And he works, he's a studio rap.
Yeah.
Very introvert. Doesn't like to come out too much. Yeah.
And he'd be tough too. He'd be good.
What's that?
The records would be tough too.
Yeah, we wanna work on some getting some of that stuff out. That's the next one. It's getting dark out here, my bad.
Nah, it's all good.
Work on some of that stuff, man.
Did you hear the record he did with David Bars with DITC?
Definitely. They're in the studio a lot together, actually. And I spent a lot of time with them in the studio.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, that record's hard. I've had David Bars on my show a few times, too. He's another one that people should look at, too, for this real hip-hop.
Oh, David Bars, nice. Yeah,
I think the game's going to turn around soon. I think people are going to grow tired of hearing what they hear on the radio and start looking at these artists. I feel like they will eventually.
Crazy, I've been saying that for years. It hasn't happened yet.
I'm hoping it will. I think it will.
It will, man. It will. But listen, I'm about to get in there and eat, start.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, man. This is awesome. I like talking about stuff like this. This is a real interview. Like talking about good other shit, man.
Yeah, no doubt. And is there any music that you'll be dropping anytime soon?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it clears up, like I said, I'll be back in the studio working with a band. And it'll be my band. And we'll, I'm going to get some shit to you.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you're going to like it.
I'll get it in the rotation, and when the whole pandemic ends, you can come in up to the station and we'll do an interview
I'm
too.
I'm going to send you some Corey shit too as soon as we pick these records out. I'm going to pick out some songs and send them to you behind his back. Songs that he be like double guessing himself, and I'm going to let you hear them. You're going to be like, God damn, yes. I don't believe in holding stuff anymore. Just throw it out there.
Yeah, get it out there. There's no use in holding it.
Yep.
All right, Peter, I want to thank you for calling in tonight, all right?
Man, thank you, bro. I appreciate you.
No doubt. We'll be in touch, and once the pandemic ends, you know, you're always welcome to come up to St. John's, promote your records.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. And take care and stay safe, too.
You too. Peace.
Peace. Thank everyone who tuned in tonight for Peter Guns and my interview with him. Stay tuned on Wednesday night and who's on my show for Wednesday night for my interview. You can follow Peter Guns on Instagram at PeterGuns174 and on Twitter. You gotta get him on Twitter too. And I am Peter Guns. He's gonna have music coming out soon. Go check out his old school stuff. If you're a new school listener tuning in right now, make sure you go educate yourself on the real hip hop. Go check out Peter Guns, Lord Tariq, hip hop legends from the Bronx. Thank you everyone who tuned in again. Stay safe and have a good night.